Everything we do in terms of teaching is going to be in the context of discipleship in the next 10 months. Nick introduced the theme of holy habits last week, and each month we're going to look at a particular holy habit, a discipline which will enable us to become a better disciple and run with Jesus more effective. And the first holy habit in the month of September is going to be Bible teaching. So if we could have the PowerPoint display back, we should be able to get up the first slide, which is Bible teaching. The title of this morning is Bible teaching, learning together. And the verse I'm really going to use as a platform for looking at this is Acts 2:42. And they, that's the early church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So we're going to be looking at teaching and learning from the Bible this morning. I thought it would be good to begin by just making sure that we understand what we mean by the term apostles. Okay, now the apostles were the disciples who had witnessed the death and the resurrection of Jesus, and who a little later on had been commissioned by Jesus to go and continue the work that Jesus had begun. They were designated apostles. And I think the apostles' teaching pretty much fell into two categories. The first category was that they taught the early church what they had been taught. So what they had been taught by Jesus, they then taught the early church. But I think there was a second category of teaching that the apostles would have been engaged in, and that was that they reinterpreted their scriptures, which we know of as the Old Testament, because they didn't have the New Testament, did they? They were the Old Testament. So they had the what we know of as the Old Testament. As they read the Old Testament again, they suddenly realized that in the light of Jesus, they saw things differently. In the light of Jesus, they saw that the Old Testament had actually been pointing towards Jesus, that he was the fulfillment of many of the things that were in the Old Testament. So they were looking at their scriptures new and afresh and were teaching this to the early church as well. So what I want to do this morning is to look at how the apostles taught in the early church and ask whether we can learn anything from how they did it. Okay? How did they do it? How can we do it? The passage of scripture that we looked at just now, that Andrew read for us, was the story of the apostle Philip meeting the eunuch. This Ethiopian eunuch is returning from Jerusalem. He's been to the temple to worship there, which shows us that he is a man already who has faith in God. An angel meets Philip, and led and guided by the Holy Spirit, the apostle Philip meets the eunuch. Now, I thought I'd better explain a little bit about what a eunuch is. And so I have to choose my wording a little carefully at this point. Because a male eunuch was, and I'm looking for the right word, castrated. Okay, I can think of other phrases for it, which wouldn't be appropriate for a Sunday morning, but castrated is probably the correct one. And he would have probably been castrated as a young man, with the intention of working for the queen. He was working for the queen of the Ethiopians, Candace. And the word eunuch actually means, literally means, the guardian of the bed. So he would have worked in the private chambers of the queen. He would have protected her from any unwanted advances. And no doubt he would have been privy to a lot of information that the queen would have told him. He was a very important person. So here he is in the chariot, returning from Jerusalem, and he's reading a passage from Isaiah, the scriptures of the Jews. Philip meets him and is invited to go and speak with him. And this is the passage that the eunuch is reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. A passage from the book of Isaiah. So as Philip and the eunuch chat, Philip is able to teach the eunuch from these scriptures that these scriptures are actually fulfilled through the life and death of Jesus. We see that Philip goes and sits with the eunuch. He tells him about the good news of Jesus. And it says, then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. So I think here we have one of the ways that the apostles taught scripture. It was one to one. And that got me thinking, when was the last time I actually just opened the Bible with one other person? When Dawn was a young Christian, she became a Christian at the age of 14? Sorry? 13. One of the ways that she learned, come on in. One of the ways that she learned was by her next door neighbour coming round her house, opening the Bible, and just teaching her about Jesus. How effective was that? Probably a couple of years ago now, when I made this strange decision to move from the Free Church to the Anglican Church, I was appointed a kind of a mentor, someone who kind of see and guide me through this. And the name of this guy was Lionel Simpkins, who was the reverend up at St. Augustine's a few years back. And for a number of weeks, we used to meet in his house. We used to open the Bible and we used to talk about passages of scripture. And he used to try and convince me that the Anglican way was the right way and things like that. But it was a really useful and interesting time to learn more about faith. And it reminded me how beautiful and effective it is, just one person meeting with another person, exploring the Bible. So I just wonder, do you think you would benefit from that? Do you think that's something that you could possibly do? Just to ask someone else round for a coffee and say, shall we just open the Bible at a passage and talk about it and see what it's about? Because that is one way that the apostles did it, one-to-one, teaching, nurturing, discipling over a cup of coffee or in a chariot or whatever is the most natural thing to do in that context. So that's the first area, one-to-one. Is that an area which you could possibly do? And there's a picture of two people meeting one-to-one. Okay, moving on. I always forget slides. I then go back to my notes, look at my notes, think, oh, there's a slide there. Anyway, so we're moving on. So one-to-one is the first area. The second area is small groups. Now, this is not rocket science. We know that in the early church, people met in homes. We also know that many of the homes were not that big, which means there were lots of small groups. We know they also met at the temple, formally, because they were all Jews at this point, but they also met in homes, small groups. It's also interesting to note that the apostles were not coming at their leadership of these small groups from an academic or intellectual position. They hadn't gone to kind of theological college. We read in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, that when they, and they are the teachers of the law, when the teachers of the law saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. So Peter and John hadn't been to the school of the rabbis. They had been to school. They could add up and things like that. But they hadn't been to the school of the rabbis. And the rabbis, the teachers, had schools. Well, they hadn't been to those. They hadn't got kind of like an intellectual or academic background. But what they had was they'd been with Jesus. They'd been with Jesus. They'd witnessed his life, his death, his resurrection, and been commissioned by him. And that held great weight. So I want you to imagine now a home group in the early church. Okay, just imagine a home group in the early church. Let's say 15 people in this home group led by Peter. So people come in, Peter's wife, we know he had a wife because he had a mother-in-law. You can't have a mother-in-law without a wife. Peter's wife, and this is not stereotyping, put the kettle on, people came in, okay, a good brew of Yorkshire tea, because they did have Yorkshire tea in those days. Broke open the biscuits, chocolate digestives, Oreos. So they're having this home group. And Peter is leading, he's doing some teaching, but 10 other people in the group had also known Jesus. They'd also been with him. Not for the whole of the time, but they could remember good chunks of what Jesus did. So as Peter was teaching, others would be saying, hey, do you remember when Jesus did that? When Jesus taught that, what do you think he meant? Do you remember when Jesus did that saying? I can't remember the end of it. How did the end of it go? You know, people were kind of chipping in because they'd been with Jesus. They'd seen Jesus. They'd been inspired by Jesus. So it wasn't just Peter who was relaying stuff about Jesus to people who didn't know about Jesus. It was people who'd been with Jesus all chipping in about Jesus. And my point is this. Sometimes we think of the apostles' teaching is one person relaying and imparting information to people who had no participation in the group. But I think it was mutual. I think it was one person, more than one person, teaching more than one person. Everybody helped everybody else learn. That's really where I'm getting to. Everybody helped everybody else learn. Yes, the apostles were teaching and had authority and were leading it and steering it. But I genuinely think, well, if Mary was in the home group, you know, did she do teaching? Did she kind of say, oh, I remember when Jesus did this? And people would have said, actually, I wasn't there at that point. But as his mother, you saw that. We didn't. And here's the shock, for some of us anyway. We can all have a part to play in each other's learning and teaching. We can all have a part to play in each other's learning and teaching. We can all bring different perspectives. We can all bring our understanding of Scripture, our life experience, our faith to a group. And that's what makes home groups buzz. In this book, Holy Habits, which Nick waved around a few times, and I'm waving around as well, there is a quote from a lady called Sylvia Wilkie Collinson, who's a New Testament lecturer in Australia, and she says this: all members of the community have a responsibility for enriching and contributing to the upbuilding of others. This is achieved in part by the exercise of their spiritual gifts and the example of their faithful, Christ-like living. Learning thus becomes a mutual, collaborative affair. So may I encourage all of you to be part of some small group somewhere where you can contribute to it, where others can learn from you and you can learn from others. Because when that happens, there is a real enriching of the body of Christ. So if you're not part of a small group, and you can fit it in your busy week, why don't you join one? So, one-to-one, that's one method of learning. Small groups, and the final one is probably what the apostles were most famous for, and that is... Oh, there was another slide, you see, there that I forgot. You know, never mind. And the third one is preaching. Preaching. In Acts chapter 10, we read, "Then Peter began to preach." And Acts chapter 10 is very interesting because he was preaching here to a church who were not Jews, who were Gentiles. And as Peter was preaching, the Holy Spirit came upon the people who were in that group. And yeah, it was crazy. It was wonderful. God was there. God was in their midst. God turned up. And we know from the New Testament that God used preaching. Preaching was a major way in which the apostles taught the early church. And since, God has used preaching in marvelous and miraculous ways. You've probably heard of someone like John Wesley, who in the 18th century was a preacher. And if you read his autobiography, it's again absolutely incredible, some of the stuff that he got up to. So much so that the Anglican Church couldn't handle him. But if John Wesley was here today, and you know, I was interviewing John Wesley, and I said, "John, you know, preaching or small groups, which do you think is the most effective in Christian teaching and learning?" He would have probably said, "Well, it's not either or, is it? It's both and. But small groups are probably more important." You see, John Wesley was the founder of Methodism, and Methodism had methods. And methods were small groups. The small groups were discipleship groups in which people came and learnt, in which people came and shared and contributed and participated. So John Wesley, yes, was a great preacher, but he was really into small groups, because small groups is the area particularly in which people learn. Some people are not kind of into preaching. Some people find sermons long, dull, and boring. And yes, I have brought my little book along again this week. I mentioned it last week. 101 things to do in a dull sermon. So I recommend that you get this book from Penny at the bookshop, okay, and just bring it along with you every Sunday. And if you go to number 22, number 22 is interesting. This thing to do is you sit on the back row, and you bring some marbles with you, okay? And what you do is, the aim is to roll the marble from the back row and see whether you can get it up the front without it hitting a chair leg, a foot, or a handbag. Okay, so if you're not into preaching, okay, you might be like to buy that book. But God has used preaching in the past in incredible ways. But preaching is limited, because we learn as human beings in circles better than we do in rows. It's a known fact. We learn in circles better than we do in rows. We actually learn more when we can participate. We actually learn more when we can interact. We actually learn more when we can do that, and then we can go away. We can put it into practice, we can experience it, and then we come back to the group and we talk about it and we share it and we listen to what others have done. And I think that's what home groups were like in the early church. So preaching is good, preaching is great, God uses preaching, but it's limited. And if we really do want to be a church, if we really do want to be individuals who grow deeper in Jesus, who are deeper disciples, who run the race and come, you know, just a little bit better than 189th. You know, if we really do want to see our Christian lives take off, we need to be people who just do a little bit more than sit in rows on a Sunday morning. Now, there's nothing worse than a preacher preaching at you. And I'm not telling you what to do, really. I'm just encouraging you to look at your Christian life and say, how can I? How can I really experience God in a new way? How can I really engage with others in a new way? How can I learn? How can I grow deeper? How can this mean far more to me? How can I be more effective when I'm at work or wherever I happen to be? So, do we really want to run the race? Do we want to become a disciple of Jesus? Do we want to learn more? Do we want to be taught? If so, let us not just have one of these operational in our life, but see if we can have more than one. Let us see if we can have a one-to-one buddy who we get together with and open the Bible with. Let us see if we can be part of a small group if we're not already. And let us see if we can have open ears when there is teaching and preaching in church, so that God speaks to us and we really know what it is to be in friendship and relationship with Jesus Christ. So that's the beginning of Bible teaching. The rest of September will be on the same theme. Andrew is speaking next week on another passage. I hope this has been helpful. If you want to kind of join a home group and you're not, then Lizzie is here. Okay, see me or Nick if you can't find Lizzie. Lizzie's just sitting over there. Okay, and let us really have a goal to know more, learn more, and understand more, not just about the Bible, but about Jesus Christ himself. Okay, wonderful. God bless. Thank you.